The First Testament comes from Isaiah chapter 40. You can follow along if you'd like in your pew Bible on page 667. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon the wind, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God, of our God, will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good things, lift up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them to his bosom and gently lead the mother's sheep. The Word of God.
It's often been said that the Gospel of Mark is a gospel that's in a hurry. Everything is done immediately in the Gospel of Mark, and we open with the first 8 verses of this gospel, and you'll notice there are no angels, there are no shepherds, there's no birth story. We just leap right in with John the Baptist. And so that's where we're beginning this morning. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I've baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord. So what was it that they were supposed to be looking for? What was it they were supposed to see, these people who heard the words of the prophet? The people who heard these words that we read out of chapter 40 of Isaiah were a people who were crushed, beaten down, exiled, oppressed, lost, fearful. Everything they had known that was good and right had been utterly destroyed. And so what was it that they were supposed to be looking for as they lived in exile in a faraway land? And suddenly this prophet shows up and says you know, sort of civil engineering things like prepare the way of the Lord, make straight this highway, lift up the valleys, bring the mountains down, make the rough places smooth. And then it says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and everybody will see it together. And then, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up, don't fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. The Lord comes with strength and might. You're crushed, you're oppressed. What are they supposed to see? What are they supposed to be looking for? And you could ask the same question of those who went out to see John the Baptist. They were crushed. They were oppressed. They had seemingly lost all hope. They lived under the thumb of a foreign ruling power that kept them down. And so along comes this sort of strange guy, sort of a, I think of him as a Daniel Boone wannabe, you know, sort of dressed in buckskin and eating bugs and honey and just very odd. And he says things like, there's someone coming who's more powerful than I am. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. I've baptized you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Great. What's he going to do about Rome? What's he going to do about the oppression? What's he going to do? What are we supposed to be looking for? What are we supposed to see? And maybe that's a question that we could ask ourselves this morning, right? This is the second Sunday of Advent, and I hope you've noticed the theme is look. Anyone notice that? Okay, good. All right. Thank you. Thank you, choir. All right, so the theme is look. We're supposed to be looking for God. But so what are we supposed to be looking for? Unlike the people listening to the prophet, and unlike those who went out to John the Baptist, we are not crushed and oppressed. We live in a free nation where we can say what we want, do what we want, go where we want, worship as we want. We are a free people. So what is it we're supposed to be looking for? Now, granted, our lives are not perfect. We struggle with relationships. We struggle with decisions about work, about how we treat others. We wrestle with what our kids do, our parents do. There's just all of this that swirls around us, and yet we're not in the same place as those who first heard these words. So what are we supposed to be looking for? Well, the answer, I think, is simple and yet extraordinarily complicated. The answer is we are to be looking for another chance to be the people of God. That's what all of these people were to be looking for, another chance to be the people of God. Now, I say that for a couple of reasons. First, let's go back to those people who heard the prophet, okay, that chapter 40 of Isaiah. They had forgotten what it meant to be the people of God. They were where they were because they had forgotten to be the people of God. They had crushed the poor. They had abused widows and orphans. They had enslaved their own people. One of my favorite stories that takes place before all of this is that they'd enslaved their own people, which was totally against the law of God. And when they thought things were going bad, they assumed they could bribe God by freeing their slaves. Oh, God, look, we're freeing our slaves. And then, when things seemed to get a little better, guess what they did? Sorry, you're our slaves again. You know, King's X. They had forgotten what it was to be the people of God. And the arrogance that came from that is what set them up for their utter and complete destruction at the hands of the Babylonian Empire. They refused to listen to the prophets. They refused to listen to the word of God. They refused to be God's people. And they paid a price. And then you've got the people who came out to see John the Baptist. All right, why are they in the position they're in? Well, they're in it because their leaders too forgot what it was to be the people of God. So most of you probably are unaware that how the Romans took control of Judea was Judea was an independent nation. But two men who decided they each wanted to be high priest raised armies and they fought each other. And then when it was a draw, they each went to the Romans and said, "Side with me." What did the Romans say? No thanks, we'll just take over your country. These leaders forgot that they were to be servant leaders after the heart of God, and instead lusted after power and abused it. And so the people paid the price. That's why they were there. And what about us? What about us? Why should we look for another chance to be the people of God? I would guess that most of us, and I certainly include myself in this, if we are honest with ourselves, can look back over the past week, the past month, who knows, maybe the past hour, and we can see a place, a time, a moment when we forgot to act like we are the people of God. When we said something hurtful and cruel. When we forgot to stop and help someone who was in need that we could have helped. Or maybe we forgot to forgive as we have been forgiven. There are those moments when we too forget to act like we are the people of God. And that's why we should be looking for another chance to be the people God wants us to be. And I say that because that's what God does. God is not the God of one and done. God is not the God of three strikes and you're out. God is the God of another chance. The people who listened to the prophet, they got their next chance. The Persians swept in, destroyed the Babylonians, and in one of the great turnaround stories of the Bible, the Persians said to God's people in exile, "Listen, you guys want to go home? You want to rebuild your city, your temple, your life, your nation? Go do it. And not only just go do it, we'll send you home with parting gifts." They sent them home with money to rebuild their lives and to rediscover what it meant to be God's people. And the people understood that that was what they'd been given, that they had looked up and that's what they saw was this next chance. The people around John the Baptist, their next chance came in the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, the one whose sandal John was unworthy to tie up, because this Jesus came into the world and offered them an alternative kingdom, a kingdom of God, which was composed of love and not hate, of compassion and not disdain, of servanthood and not power. An alternative kingdom that allowed them to live with a sense of freedom they'd never known. An alternative kingdom that, by the way, outlasted Rome by about 1,500 years and changed the world. That's what they were to look up and see. That was their next chance. And what about us? We've been given the gift of faith in Jesus Christ, of the one who was born, lived, died, and was raised from the dead in order to break the power of sin. And because he broke the power of sin, you and I can find forgiveness. And in that forgiveness, we find our next chance. Our next chance to make right those things that we've done wrong. That next chance to live as the people of God. That next chance to show love and forgiveness and compassion. That next chance. That's what we're to be looking for. That's what we're to see, because God offers it. God makes it possible. And so my challenge to you on this Sunday is this: to look for that next chance to make right what was wrong, to forgive rather than to condemn, to serve rather than to be served. That next chance to live as the people of God, as the light to the world that God has called us to be. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you don't keep score, but that instead you come to us when we have not been living as your people, and you give us another chance to make it right. Give us the vision and the courage to do just that this world might look more and more like the kingdom that came in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.